So do me a favor, greet the person to your right and to your left. I'm going to welcome our online community. Rev City Online, so great to see you. Thank you for joining us today. And thank you for Jim and for Wendy hosting our services online. And so glad that you're here. Council Grove, shout out to our watch party in Council Grove. So glad that you're here, are here as well. And so I'm excited about today's message. Do me a favor, turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to get to that scripture in just a minute. And then we're going to go to a couple of other scriptures in 2 Timothy, but we'll get there here in just a second. So how many of you agree, and I need a choral response, I need people to physically respond to me, how many of you agree that we need to see God restored in our lives and in society today? Amen, amen. Yeah. That's a good amen. And a couple of weeks ago when Pastor Thomas was preaching, he was talking about the word Rev for Rev City, you know, R-E-V, Rev City, and it's, you know, it's reviving hearts, revealing Jesus, revival, and all those things. But then he said this, and I love this, that Rev stands for reverence for God and God's word restored. And here's what I believe, that in order to see reverence for God and God's word restored, we need to see the people of God put the word of God back into action in their lives. Amen? And so that was a little bit weak kind of an amen on that one. Because like, well, Eddie, I don't know about that. No, amen? Amen. Okay, yeah. And so here's the thing. In order for the word of God to work, to operate in your life, to operate in my life, to reach its intended purpose and destination, to bear fruit in our lives, it has to be activated. Okay? And the word of God, this Bible, has the truth of God inside of it. Okay? And it requires us to activate it. And what I mean by that is we have to respond. We have to do something. Because if there is no activation, okay, or action rather, there are going to be no activation in the Word of God. You have to do something, all right? The Word is activated by action. It requires you to make a response. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Father God, thank you so much for your word. I thank you, Lord God, that you lead us and guide us into truth as we seek you and seek your word and hear your voice speaking to us through your spirit. Lead us and guide us today by that spirit, by your spirit, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Amen. The living word of God has the ability to separate your mind, your will, and your emotions from the spirit and expose the innermost thoughts that you have and that I have, our desires, okay? It's living. It's living, but it will not work for you if you don't take action to activate it. What's the action? Well, I would say for the majority of followers of Christ, the most important action we could do is to actually pick the Bible up and open it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, go to your nightstand and, you know, dust it off and open the Word of God. If we can just start there, we're way ahead of the curve. Okay, so we open up the Word of God and we begin to read it. Then we begin to study it. I mean, break it down. What is it saying to me? Then we begin to meditate on it. We begin to put the word in our mouth and we begin to regurgitate it throughout the day. Lord, you're with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. Those types of things, that's what meditation means, to just repeat the word of God. And then we say, Holy Spirit, lead me and guide me into the truth of what your word is saying to me today. 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking to his spiritual son. He says, but I am not ashamed, for I know and I have believed and I am convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. So Paul is speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, and he's saying, listen, I know, Pastor Michael spoke about this last week, I know and know that he's my Lord and I have believed he's my Savior. It's not one or the other. It's both. I know and I have believed, okay? And I'm convinced that God will guard what he has entrusted to me. God entrusted the Word of God to Paul to preach the gospel. He's entrusting you with the word of God. And he said he will guard that word so that you can do what you're supposed to do with it. He's entrusted his word to you, and you've got to activate it. But you've got to take action in order to activate it. Guard there says to guard oneself, okay? It's to observe the precepts of the law, the word of God, to observe it. Pastor Micah did a great job again, like I said, illustrating last week that Jesus needs to be the Lord, I know, and the Savior who I believed. James chapter 1, verses 22. And here's kind of the anchor scripture for the message. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. The passage says you're only fooling yourself. Another translation says you'll be deceived if you only hear the word and not do the word. People in churches all over the world right now are going to church every week to hear the word. Then they leave and they never take action to do the word. Imagine leaving here today. It's gonna be lunchtime and I'm gonna get you out of here pretty early. So if you'll be first in line. But so you leave here today and you're gonna go to lunch, you're gonna go to your favorite restaurant in town, or you're gonna go home because you've already got a meal in the crock pot or whatever, and you're gonna have a meal. And you sit there and so as example, let's see here, how it can make you hungry. Oh yeah, it's a nice medium rare ribeye. Oh, and it's creamy mashed potatoes. It's grilled corn, right? Ooh, it's peach cobbler at the end, right? Okay, anyway. So you go home and you have this incredible meal. Or you go to that favorite restaurant, you have this incredible meal. And then as you're finished, you look at your family and say, this will be the only meal that we will have this week. And so the next morning, you walk by the refrigerator, you're like, hi, refrigerator. And you just lovingly pass by the refrigerator. You don't open it, even though it's full of food. You're on your way to work and you're driving in your car and you see that favorite restaurant that you ate that Sunday before, but you're like, oh, you just kind of wise, you drive by. What would happen in a day or two? How would you feel? A week or two? How would you feel? I would imagine most of us would feel pretty tired if we hadn't eaten all week long. Some of us, if you're like me, you'd be hangry, right? You'd be hangry. You'd be weak. You'd feel sick. Yet we do that with God's spiritual food all the time. Rarely do we pick it up and consume what God has given us. Given us to deliver us, to heal us, to encourage us, to discipline us, to disciple us. Listen, if we don't take action to do the word after we hear the word, then we will find no benefit in the scriptures. No change in our lives, no action, no activation, no progress. We're only fooling ourselves. We'll only be deceived. Not because we didn't hear the word, but because we only heard the word. Look at this object lesson that James gives us in James chapter 1, verse 23. Like glancing at your face in a mirror, you see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. The same version, or same scripture, but a different translation, says this in the ESV, like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. See, I believe that James is making a powerful distinction in using the word as a mirror, but then using the word man in the scripture, like a man who intently stares at his natural face. Because I believe that James had a revelation that no woman would just glance or stare intently at a mirror, right, and then forget what she looks like. I got a snort on that one. I love that. Am I right, though? Listen to this. Women don't look at mirrors and quickly turn away. You know, the women in their bathroom, they're looking at a mirror, and they're checking themselves out. Then if they have a vanity, you know, one of those vanity mirrors that's right there on the side, and it lights up and it magnifies, like it can not only see your pores, it can even see your soul. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just that intense. It just reflects everything. And so the women are looking at that mirror, they're looking at this mirror, and then they grab the other mirror, the hand mirror, and they're like, now I gotta check the back. You know what I mean? And they're checking the back. So how many mirrors is that? Three or four mirrors, whatever, something like that. And then they go into the bedroom and they have a full length mirror, like the wall, and they're like, woo, they're doing all that, you know? They're doing the full length mirror. Then they go to the car, and if they're driving, you know what I'm saying? They got the rear view mirror. So they're driving with the knees and they're doing the, you know, they're doing the makeup there, or they're doing that. Or if in the passenger side, they got their the visor, they're pulling that down, look in the mirror. But women would never look in a mirror and forget what they look like. But a man, James says a man, and listen, if you looked up the word, it just means man. It's gender man. When he looks at his face, he's going to, like glancing at your face, forget. And the word there, forget, means he doesn't care. He neglects what he looks like. See, as a man, that makes sense to me. Because men, let me ask you, this is for the men, ladies, shh. Men, how many times have you gotten up, got dressed, kind of looked maybe at the mirror because you were just looking that way, you walk into the bedroom and your wife goes, you're going to wear that? Right, because men generally don't care. We're like, I'm not naked. I'm going. I got clothes on. What does it matter? You know? This is why Pastor Thomas has that shirt that Amity has put in the garage sale like for 20-something years, and he always goes and grabs it because he's going to wear that shirt no matter what. That's his shirt. We don't. It's just a function for us to put clothes on. It doesn't matter. Even if it's a high school shirt that at this point now is a midriff shirt, guys don't care. That's the shirt. We're just going to put that on. We're looking in the mirror. It doesn't matter. But the bigger picture here is James is saying, don't just look in the mirror and glance at your face and forget. In other words, don't not take care. Don't neglect. Now, hopefully you're listening with spiritual ears to understand that James isn't talking about a mirror. See, the second part of the object lesson regarding that mirror image that he's given us is a mirror that tells you what you look like. You can't look at your face without a mirror. Okay, I know you don't believe me. Right now, where you're sitting, without pulling out a mirror, look at your face. Go ahead. I'll wait. You see, the only way that you can see your face is when you look at the reflection of a mirror. And see, so the women may think, well, I look like Halle Berry. I'm hot. The guys, I look like Superman, Henry Cavill. I'm awesome. I'm invisible. But the mirror will tell you the truth. The mirror will tell you exactly what you look like. See, in James' day, they didn't have the glass mirrors that we have in our modern time. You know, with a glass with the silver behind it to cause a reflection. In those days, they had precious polished metals, like in the first was bronze. They would take this bronze sheet and they would hammer it out and they would polish it and polish it and polish it to create a reflection. And so that would give you a reflection. But what you had to do is you had to hold it up near light, like the sun or a candle, to be able to see your reflection. And here's what's awesome. is James is now going to explain the bigger picture behind the object lesson. In James chapter 1, verse 25, but he who looks carefully into the perfect law, that's the mirror, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys. And this is he. And in this part of the scripture, it means he and she. It's both a man and a woman. Anyone that looks at this mirror, the word of God. And he will be blessed and she will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. James is comparing the mirror to the perfect law, the word of God. But here's the thing about the word of God. It will not produce the fruit that you want it to produce if you just walk by and glance at it. If you just kind of, hey, James, that's a good word, and you walk by. It's not going to produce the fruit that you want it to produce. Think about this. When you go to the mirror, you're going to see your face. You're there because you want to look at yourself before you walk out or go to someplace, all right? You're checking yourself out. And the mirror will tell you exactly what you look like. It won't lie to you. If it's a legitimate mirror, it will tell you that you need to take the sleep out of your eyes. The mirror will tell you that if you need to get Kleenex because you got some bats in the cave. You know what I'm saying? You got to blow your nose or something. James is saying, listen, this is the mirror. Don't just walk by it and take a glance. Look at it. Study it. Meditate it. It's going to tell you exactly what you look like. The word of God will show you the real you. We may all think that we look like a bucket of chicken right now. I'm hungry, I guess, huh? Can I keep bringing food up? But the word of God will tell you what's going on. Pastor Jimmy Evans would say, when you read the word of God, it's reading you. And I believe that's true. It'll tell you you got sleep in your eyes, you're kind of dull, and you're not discerning what I'm trying to do in your life in this season. That's what the word of God will do. It'll tell you you've got some spiritual baggage that I need to declutter your life with. So let's spend some time, let's deal with this thing. What you're hanging on to, you need to let go of so you can be set free from it. The word of God is going to reveal you to you based on his perfect word, not based on what you or anyone else thinks. You know who else is looking intently at his word? God. God in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12 says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. Come on, man. Listen, think about this. So when you begin to look at your word, God is looking at his word. He's way ahead of you. He's looking at that word too. And he's watching you look intently and meditating and studying and declaring the word of God. He's going, I'm going to perform that for that person. Because they're looking at the word of God. He's right there with you. We have to take action so the word can be activated in our life. That's why looking into the word of God, the mirror, is so important. It reveals areas of our lives that we need to take action and activate by being doers of the word so that we can be set free, so that we receive healing, so that we can receive wisdom, all those things. The word of God is the truth of God, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the promise of his death and his resurrection for us. However, for us to experience the fullness of that, to reap the benefits of the promises that he died and resurrected to give us, we have to activate it. Action leads to activation. No action, no activation. The word of God then just lies dormant in seed form. It's alive and it's ready to produce, but if we don't activate the word of God, it's there. We can amen every message that we hear on Sunday mornings until Jesus comes back. But if we don't put action to the amen, there's going to be no action of the word of God in our life. And I'm not saying, you know, name it and claim it and stab it and grab it and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting into the word of God, meditating on the word, declaring the word of God in the season that you're in, wherever you're at. You're in a different place than I'm at. But you declare the word of God, and God is watching over it. He begins to activate that word in your life, and change begins to happen. Freedom begins to happen. Revelation begins to happen. I'm going to continue with the food analogy. I know you're hungry, I am too, but to continue with the food analogy, activating the word of God is more like a crock pot and less like a microwave. It's one of those things where if we think about our microwave society, we want everything done yesterday. But when you cook food in the microwave, it just never tastes good. It never tastes the same as it was in a crock pot. Now I like to cook meat on a smoker. I've got a lot of grills, and one of them is a pit smoker, and I love to cook meat on my pit smoker. And I tell Beth, how low can we slow today? We're going to cook some meat. It's going to take a long time, and it's going to be good. And that's the thing about cooking on a pit smoker. It takes time. It takes intentionality. You got to be patient. You can't be lifting the lid every 5 seconds to see what's going on. You have to season the meat with salt and spices and peppers and all that kind of stuff. Then you got to place the wood in the firebox. And then you got to light the fire. Then you have to tend the fire to kind of really get it going. You know what I mean? And initially, the first smoke that comes out, that's not what you're cooking with. That's that smoky black smoke. Ugh, don't do that. And so you got to tend it. You got to be patient, because eventually the wood will really take hold and a blue smoke will start coming out of your chimney there on the pit smoker. And that's the good stuff. That's what, you know what I'm saying? It's the good. And so then you're tending the fire, the blue smoke is in you, then you put the meat in there, and then you continue to add fuel as needed. You begin, continue to watch and regulate the temperature. You let it breathe. You open up the vent so there's more air coming in or less air coming in. Maybe if you're Kansas City, we like our sauces, so we're going to add some sauce to that. We're going to add some moisture to that and all those kind of things. Then it's done. We pull it out. We don't eat it. We pull it out, and we let it rest. We pay homage to that piece of meat that's right there on the table there. The average cook for a large piece of meat, like a brisket or something like that, anywhere from, 12 hours, 16 hours, depending on the temperatures that you're using. It's not a microwave. That time, that attention, though, it'll produce some good meat. When you eat microwave food versus food that you took the time to cook right, trust me, you can taste the difference. By the way, don't anybody go and put a brisket in your microwave. It don't work. But what I've discovered in my own life and in the lives of people that I've been around is that many believers want all the benefits of a low and slow, of a pit smoker or a crock pot, but they want it in microwave form. God, just give it to me now. I know somewhere in the Word of God it says that you want to bless me, so just start. God, I know somewhere in the Word it says that you provide all of my needs according to your riches. I think that's what it says. Riches. Just do that. Just provide that. I don't want to necessarily get into all the minutiae of reading. I just need you to bless me. God, it says, I think it says somewhere in the Word that you can heal. So just heal me. I don't really want to spend time to study that and read about that. Just do it, would you, Lord? We want all the benefits of the low and slow. We want all the benefits of the crock pot. But we don't necessarily want to wait for it to happen. one of the ways that this plays out in our lives, Beth and I, and I was thinking about this week, and it's the way we activate the Word of God. Because people say, well, how do you activate it? Well, I said earlier, you pick it up and you start reading and studying, but there's practical ways too. And so Beth and I, we think our marriage is pretty stinking cool. And so so we go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, if you're taking notes, and Ephesians 5, verses 21 to 31. In Ephesians 5, it says in verse 21, mutually submitted one to another. Okay, so that's a simple sentence, but now we have to put it in, and I've read it just now to you, and now we've got to put it into action. So Beth and I will have a conversation about a thing, and we say, can we mutually submit on this decision, you know, the decision we're going to make on, related to this thing, where we're going to eat this week? And she's like, well, I want to eat this. No, no, I don't want to eat that. So, but then we come to mutual submission. We lay ourselves down and say, we're going to come into an agreement on that thing. That is putting action to the word that we've read. Okay. Then in verse 22, which is man's favorite verse ever, wives submit to your husbands. You know, you guys, yes, amen. So wives submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, for this is a good thing. And so what I know is that Beth is going to submit to me because, first off, we're in mutual submission to one another. Then it says after that, husbands, die for your bride, like Jesus did for the church. And Beth is going, amen. And so I know what that means is I'm going to spend a lot of time looking at her garden vegetables instead of watching the fights on television and pay-per-view. Right? And so my sacrifice, the way I die to self, is I take my big camera and I go, okay, honey, go ahead and pull the vegetables and I'll video record that to send to our kids. Click. So here's what I'm saying. We're reading the Word of God. I've studied the Word of God. I've meditated on the Word of God. And now we're acting out the Word of God in our lives. Does that make sense? That may not be the situation for you. Maybe it's healing or finances. You need to find the scripture based on that. And you need to get do that. What is it telling you to do? And if you need help, call me. I'll help you. But we have to activate the Word of God in our lives. And the way we do that is through action. Listen to this. Psalm 34:8. I'm going to get you out of here. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Now, the word there, see, means to look at intently, to behold, and to gaze at. It's not a passing thing. Taste. It doesn't mean just a quick lick and move on. It means to just enjoy, look at this intently, get after it, consume this thing. Then it says right there, blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And the word refuge there is to go for protection, to put my trust in, to confide, which means I'm having a dialogue with God, and to hope in. And when you take refuge in the Word of God, you're saying, God, what are you speaking to me about this? Let's have a dialogue about this. I'm coming to you. You're where my help comes from. I'm not seeking anything else but you right now, God. I'm going to put my trust in you. I'm going to put my hope in you. And doing those things is activating the Word of God into your life. It's causing that alive Word to be alive inside of you. Repeat after me, and everybody else has to participate, please. Action to activation. Let's put God's word into action today, tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day, so there's going to be an activation. The word of God is alive. God is watching over his word to perform it. What you have to do, what I have to do, is activate that word with action. Isaiah 55 says this, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. In James, he was comparing the word of God to the mirror. Here, God himself is comparing it to rain and snow, that it comes down and it doesn't return back up. It waters the earth. The word of God comes down. You're the earth. It waters you. It doesn't return back to God until it accomplishes exactly what it's supposed to accomplish. And when it comes down, listen, when you get into the word of God, it will spring forth. It will sprout. It'll give you something to consume, seed, and something to give away. You're a sower. That's what the word of God does in your life. It gives you bread to eat. And then it says, my word will come, go out of my mouth, and it will not return empty. When it gets inside of you, it will accomplish exactly what God set it out to accomplish. Now, I want to encourage you, by the way, this week, to go and read all of Isaiah 55, okay? But I'm going to paraphrase that whole passage real quickly in just my language. This is from the book of Eddie / Isaiah 55. When we take action by coming to God, listening diligently to him, consuming his word, which is good, when we come to him and incline our ear to hear what he has to say, our mind, our will, and our emotions will come alive. When we take action and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near, the word that he has sent out from his mouth will not return to him empty. It will accomplish what he already purposed and will succeed in the thing that he sent it. Listen, if you've not been reading God's word, take action now. Let's get that right before we leave today. You're going to get into the word of God. Say amen. Make the commitment to read the word and then be obedient to what the word is telling you to do. A lot of times you'll read the word and it'll begin, the Holy Spirit begin to speak to you, and it's like, oh, I need to forgive. Take action. Forgive. Oh, I need to give of my time and my talent, my treasure. Give. Whatever God's word is telling you, wherever you're at in this season, do that. Some of you are battling fear, oppression, or maybe the enemy's trying to oppress you. You feel depressed. The scripture says, I will give him a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Now, here's the thing about a garment. It only works when you put it on. So if I read the scripture that I need to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, what I need to do is begin to put on that garment and praise God. Now, I know the worship team is back up here, but I'm not going to sing for you because that'll be, everybody will just run. And so, but the way I praise God sometimes is just the way I speak. God, I'm feeling heavy and I'm feeling depressed or oppressed. But I know even in that, you desire to heal me. So I'm going to put on the garment of praise. God, thank you for my wife. Thank you for my family. God, thank you for this church family that are so awesome. Thank you, Lord God, for blessing me with good health. Thank you, Lord God, for my extended family. Lord God, thank you for this position that I have. Thank you, Lord God, that you're doing a new thing in me, Lord God. Help me to perceive it. God, I begin to just praise him as I'm speaking. And guess what? In the atmosphere of praise, the enemy cannot be there. You know why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. we just take the word of God and we put it into action. And God shows up because he's watching over his word to perform it. Stand up with me if you would, please. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart and in your mind. For those of you who already know the scripture that the Lord has shown you in this season of your life, take action on it. Make a commitment today to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Action to activation. Some of you do know what that word is. You've read the scriptures and you know. Ask the Holy Spirit right now, God, what do I need to do? What action do I need to take? What step do I need to take to begin to see your word manifest in my life? Some of you just need to start by picking up the word of God. Just pick it up and begin to read it. You know, and if you don't have a Bible, we'll provide a Bible for you. We'll provide the word of God for you. There's life in the Word of God. It's powerful, it's active, and it's ready. God is watching over it to perform it in your life, not just my life, your life. Bow your heads and close your eyes for me just for a second. I want to pray for you. Father God, thank you so much for your sons and daughters in this room who have taken a step today to show up to hear your word. But as they leave here today, Lord God, may they be doers of the word that they've heard. And I know as I was speaking, your spirit, more importantly, was speaking to their hearts and to their minds. And I pray, Lord God, that your spirit would lead them and guide them into all truth. If you're here, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, but I'm gonna speak to some other people now here in this room and maybe they're online. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and again, maybe you've heard it, you've heard the word before, but you've never taken the action to surrender to the word before. Today is a day of salvation for you. And maybe you served the Lord at one time, and maybe you've kind of fallen away from him, but now you're coming back today. You want to rededicate your life, and you want a fresh start. Today is your day as well. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, here in this room and there online, if that's you today, would you let me know by raising your hands and waving at me so I can just pray for you today? We're not gonna call you out. You're not gonna have to come up here or anything. I just wanna pray for you if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're there online, you can use the emoji icon and just post that, and that our online team will be praying for you as well. So now look at me. We're gonna pray a prayer together for those who have made a commitment to God, who have surrendered their lives, or maybe they're coming back. We're gonna pray together because we're a church family and we do things together. We're gonna pray for those online as well. And if you're at home and you're online, you're in your car watching or whatever, pray this thing out loud with us. Just agree with us in prayer. Father God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. I repent of my sin. I receive his forgiveness. And I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Now fill me with your Holy Spirit. I receive it today. Thank you, God, that I am a new creation and I've been given a fresh start so that I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a clap offering, please? Thank you. I hope the Lord ministered to you today. Let's worship the Lord, and then Beth is going to lead us out of here.